Deuteronomy 28 is a very long chapter. I'm not going to read all of it. It is one of the most important passages in the whole Bible. Because if you look just at the beginning of the passage, it says blessings for obedience. And what God does, God makes a covenant with his people. And God gives them his word. And God in this passage says to them, if you obey my law, here are the blessings that you will receive. So the beginning of the passage is the blessings that God will give them. They will live in the land. He will provide food for them. He will protect them from their enemies. He will make them to multiply in number and so on. And then from verse 15 begins what is called the curses for disobedience. You have blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. In other words, God then says, well, if you don't obey my law, here are the curses that I will bring upon you. Now, I want us to read from verse 58. So go towards the end of the passage from verse 58, because we'll come across some verses that are relevant in our study in Hosea. So let's read from verse 58, Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and on your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. And he will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you are as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you. And you shall be plucked off from the land that you are entering to take possession of it. And the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for your soul, for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, if only it were evening. And at evening you shall say, if only it were morning, because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sights that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. Now, I will refer to that passage, but let's turn now to the book that we're starting to study this evening, the prophecy of Hosea. It's the first of what we call the minor prophets. Okay, so you have in the prophetic books Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Hosea. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be studying this very, very important book, the book of Hosea. I'm going to read the opening chapter, Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went unto Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Call her name No Mercy," or Lo Ruhamah actually is the Hebrew, "for I will have no mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword, or by war, or by horses, or by horsemen." When she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, "Call his name Not My People, or Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said of to them, 'Children of the living God.' And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." Now, this evening, I'm not actually going to tackle the text of chapter 1, but what I want to do this evening is to give an introduction. We know when Hosea was written, or when this prophet was alive and active, because of the date that he gives. When you read Old Testament prophets, some of them will give you their dates by the kings who were reigning when they were active. So here it begins, "The word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri." And then he gives you the kings in Judah in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And that places him roughly in the middle of the 7th century, round about 740 AD, if you can remember dates, roughly 750, 740 years before the coming of Christ. You may recognize some of those kings. For example, Uzziah, he says that he prophesied in the days of Uzziah. I wonder, can you remember any other prophet who was active during the reign of Uzziah? Right. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So Isaiah was a contemporary of Hosea. Okay. Amos was a contemporary of Hosea. Possibly Jonah. Okay. Jonah's dates are not that clear, but Jonah is mentioned in 2 Kings, and it is possible that there was some overlap with Jonah as well. That puts him down as an early prophet. Among the writing prophets, he's one of the early ones. Okay. Most of the prophets that we read, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and so on, are much later. Jeremiah, of course, just before the fall of Jerusalem. And then Ezekiel, Daniel, actually during the exile. So those are later prophets. Hosea would be one of the earlier ones, along with Isaiah and Amos. Now, what is the book of Hosea about? In other words, what is its central message? Well, there are three things that he is saying to the people of Israel. Okay? Let me just, actually, before I do that, I'm not following my notes as closely as I should. Let me just give you some historical background before I tell you the message that he has. You remember in Old Testament history, when Solomon died, something drastic happened to the nation of Israel. Does anybody know what happened? When Solomon died, something very drastic happened to the nation of Israel. Yeah.
It divided.
It did. It divided into two. Okay. Because there was internal warfare regarding his succession. Who should become king? Okay. And there was a man called Jeroboam and there was a man called Rehoboam. And the two couldn't agree. And so the nation divided into what we call the southern nation of Judah. And that was mainly the tribe of Judah with Benjamin. But Benjamin was quite a small tribe. So you had the southern tribe of Judah with the capital at Jerusalem. And then the remaining 10 tribes formed their own nation called Israel. So after Solomon, when we speak of Israel, we're speaking of the northern kingdom. Before Solomon, when we say Israel, we mean the whole nation. David was king of Israel. Saul was king of Israel. But then after the division, the northern nation is called Israel, sometimes also called Ephraim, because the largest tribe was Ephraim. Okay, the capital was Samaria. So you then had this division. And one of the things you have to ask yourself when you study these prophets, which of the two nations were they prophesying to? Okay, were they speaking to Israel in the north or were they speaking to Judah in the south? Now, Hosea is prophesying to the northern kingdom. There are some prophecies to the southern kingdom, but the majority of his prophecy is to the northern kingdom. Now, when you look at the northern kingdom, from the time that Solomon died, okay, every king that they had was wicked. In the southern kingdom, some of the kings were godly. You had men like Asa and Hezekiah, people like those in the southern kingdom of Judah, Josiah, men like that, who were godly men. Not all of them; some of them were wicked. But in the northern kingdom, when you read the books of 1st and 2nd Kings, particularly, of course, 2nd Kings, and you're reading about the northern kingdom, there isn't a single king about whom the writer of Kings says he was a godly man. It always says he was a wicked man. He didn't obey the Lord. So every king that the northern kingdom had was an idolater because idolatry had been set up right from the beginning. And so God judged that nation. And during the time of Hosea, if you're into dates, if you remember dates, remember I told you Hosea began prophesying around about 740 BC. In the year 722, so 18 years after he began prophesying, Israel fell. The Assyrians came and took away the 10 tribes. Okay? So that is what Hosea is speaking about. Hosea is written to explain to the northern kingdom why they are judged by God. So what is his message? What is Hosea saying to this nation? Now, as I said, there are three things that he's saying to them. And they're all to do with God. Okay? When you read Old Testament prophecy, it's very tempting to try and, where does Israel fit into this? And what is God saying to me about my present condition and so on? Well, all right. But actually, these prophets, all of them, came to declare the character of God. That was their first message. They came to remind the people who God is. Okay? You have to remember why the prophets came. And the prophets came because the nation strayed into sin. It's a very interesting aspect of the Old Testament. that when the people are living godly lives, when the people are living an obedient life, they're obeying the word of God, they're following the decrees of God, and they're living godly lives, generally speaking, you don't hear of prophets. Prophets weren't there. Okay? I mean, yes, you'll find occasionally here and there a prophet turns up. But you don't read of major prophets coming at a time when the people of Israel or the people of Judah were living godly lives. By and large, when you look at the Old Testament prophecy, they came when Israel went away from God. I'm using Israel as the whole nation. The people of God, when they strayed away from God into sin. Okay? There are two great illustrations of that. Okay? Perhaps the most famous illustration is the Old Testament prophet Nathan. Now, when is the first time? Let me ask you this question. When is the first time you read of Nathan? When does Nathan turn up? Can you remember what event had just taken place? Yes. That's the first time you read about Nathan. David has committed adultery with Bathsheba and has her husband Uriah murdered. Okay? The very next passage, Nathan the prophet turns up. The first time you read of Nathan. Okay? And comes to correct David because David has strayed from the Lord. The other great example, of course, is Elijah. And you remember, you read in the book of Kings about how Ahab came on the throne. And Ahab is this horrible man, a really wicked man. I mean, there were some terrible kings in Israel and in Judah. But Ahab is particularly wicked, and his wife Jezebel. And that's when you see Elijah and Elisha, okay? And so, by and large, the prophets came when the people strayed from God. And the prophets came to call them back to God. That's why repent is such a great message among the prophets. And the way that the prophets called the people back to the Lord was by preaching the character of God. Okay, I was saying when I was looking at Isaiah on Sunday, and I was telling you that Isaiah is declaring the character of God, God's holiness and God's grace. And Hosea, the same. When you read Ezekiel, you read Jeremiah, you read Daniel, they're all speaking about God. Now, of course, they apply the message to the people, but they're talking about God. So Hosea comes to the people of Israel, the northern kingdom. They've been in existence 200 years. It's been some 200 years since Solomon died. Okay? And they have, for those 200 years, lived lives of sin. They've just been idolatrous. Every king has been idolatrous. None of them has been good. They have lived this 200 years lives of sin. And towards the end of that period, Hosea comes to them. And Hosea preaches God and explains the character of God to them. And he says three things about God. The first thing he tells them is God is holy. Okay? God is holy. God is just. Okay? And you read in this passages, in this prophecy, passages of judgment. And they're terrible. It's really a very demanding book. I've been reading through it today. And as I read through it, you see again and again these passages of judgment. Okay? Let me just read for you some verses in chapter 4. I'm just picking out one passage, but there are so many. This is God bringing an accusation against the northern kingdom. Okay? Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. they break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish. And also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend and let no one accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children, and so on. So there is this passage of judgment. You've gone away from God. Well, God will bring judgment upon you. So that is the first great message that comes to them, that God is holy, God is just, God judges sin. The second great lesson in this book is that God is faithful to his word. We read right at the beginning Deuteronomy 28. And as I explained to you, this passage in Deuteronomy was given to them by Moses when the people were about to enter the land of Israel. And God is speaking to the people of Israel, and God makes this covenant with them. And God says to them, if you obey the terms of the covenant, there will be blessings. And the blessings are listed in the early verses of Deuteronomy 28. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and so on. So all these blessings. But Deuteronomy 28 also says, if you don't obey, there'll be curses. So from verse 15, you have the curses for disobedience. And one of the curses, we read that passage from verse 58, and God says in that passage, if you do not obey the words of this law that are written in this book, then the Lord will bring on your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and everlasting. And he talks about destroying them. Verse 62, whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 64, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul, and so on. So God says in Deuteronomy, if you disobey my voice, you are many in number, okay? You are as numerous as the stars in heaven, but you shall be left few in number. And God did it. Because the northern kingdom of Israel were chronic in their sin, repeated sin and sin and sin and sin. And for 200 years, God was patient with them. But finally, his patience ran out. So after 200 years of nothing but sin, no good, only sin, God raised up the Assyrians. And the Assyrians came to Samaria. And the Assyrians attacked the northern kingdom. And the Assyrians took the 10 tribes. Remember, there were 12 tribes, 10 in the north and 2 in the south. And the Assyrians took the 10 northern tribes. And a few, very few, remained. Very, very few remained. So where God says, whereas you are as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number. Well, that happened. Okay? And they were taken from their land and scattered. And so verse 64, and the Lord will scatter you among the all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. We talk today about the nation of Israel, and we talk about the Jewish people today. But do you know those 10 tribes have gone? Okay? So if you were to ask today, well, where are Naphtali? Where is Ephraim? And where is Manasseh? And where is Dan? These northern tribes, Reuben and Gad, and so on. They're gone. Okay? God scattered them among the nations. They intermarried among the nations. They cannot today be identified. They are gone. Because God said that is what would happen. Hosea consistently in this prophecy makes reference to the first 5 books of Moses. Okay? When we go through it, I will show you how consistently there are references to the writings of Moses. He talks about the covenant God made with Adam, and he speaks about the law that was given through Moses and so on, because he's always saying to them, the reason why you're about to be scattered is because God said you would be. Okay? So the first lesson, God is holy, he judges sin. Second lesson, God is faithful to his word, he keeps his promises. But then there's a third lesson. It's a dark book, but it's not all darkness. And the majority of the passages are judgmental and difficult, but there are bright lights in it. Because the third thing Hosea teaches is God is gracious. Okay? And it's one of the most remarkable books in the Bible to display the grace of God. Okay? Next time when we come to look at it, we will look at his marriage and how he has to marry this unfaithful woman. And then she leaves him and she runs off with some other men and she becomes their slave. And he then has to go and buy her back. And God is sort of using this living parable. Poor Hosea has to go through all this. He has to suffer the humiliation of having a wife who is unfaithful to him and runs off and then has to go and buy her back. All that humiliation. Because God wants to show the people of Israel that he is gracious. Now, this makes the book quite a complicated book to interpret. Okay? I've read chapter 1, and when you look at chapter 1 and the words that God speaks, okay, for example, verse 8, when she had weaned no mercy and conceived and bore a son, and the Lord said, call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. So you've got in verse 8 this very definite statement, I'm about to disown you. You're not my people, I'm not your God. Okay, because you've been unfaithful in idolatry, just gone on for 200 years in idolatry, and I've been patient with you, but I've had enough. This is it. This is the end of our relationship. You are no longer my people. I'm not your God. And you read up to that point, you think, well, I can understand that. That makes sense. It's logical because of the chronic idolatry. But then straight away, the next verse, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and so on. So you read that and you think, but he has just told them, you're not my people. And he's just told them, I'm about to scatter you. And he does scatter them. So what is this? Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea. Now, I don't want to get too technical, but in Old Testament studies, there are two groups of people then, okay? The scholars fall into two camps, okay? And one camp says, this is a prophecy about national Israel, the Jewish people, okay? That is not the position I take, okay? Well, I'm glad to hear one one person who agrees with me. It is not the position I take, okay? The position I'm going to take, and I'll back it up straight away. I'll back it up now, but I'll definitely back it up next time we look at this passage. I believe what Hosea is doing is talking about the New Covenant Church. Okay. In the New Testament, we are called Israel. Okay. If you make a careful study of Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, you will see that God's covenant people in the New Testament are Israel. Okay? It's there in Galatians chapter 6 where Paul says, greet the Israel of God. And he's writing to Gentiles. Okay? Perhaps the clearest passage, here it says, say to these people, you are not my people. But you know that in 1 Peter, okay, you have this prophecy. And Peter says to these people who were Gentile Christians, Peter says to them, this is chapter 2 and verse 9, 1 Peter, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's a very clear reference to Hosea. Hosea's children are called not my people and no mercy. And here Peter is writing to Gentiles. Peter is not writing to Jewish people. Okay, the first letter of Peter is to the people of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are not Jewish people. And Peter says to them, you at one time were not my people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. So as we go through Hosea, okay, we will see the holiness of God, passages about sin. And that's important for us, okay? We make much of the grace of God and the love of God and the kindness of God, and we should. I always pray that my preaching will be primarily the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God, because I believe that is what every preacher should preach. Now, as we make much of the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God, we must never forget God is holy. God hates sin. God judges sin. God deals with sin. So if we fall into sin, we become careless. We say, well, God is gracious. God is merciful. God will forgive. It doesn't matter how I live. We become careless in our Christian lives. God will deal with us because God is holy and God hates sin. So God will discipline us. And this is an important reminder. So God is holy. And Hosea tells them, God is faithful to his word. He has said in Deuteronomy 28 that if we fall into sin, our numbers will diminish and we will be scattered. Well, that's what happened. But as we read Hosea, we will also see these passages. And they're scattered throughout the book. These passages about the day when Israel will prosper and the day when Israel will be called God's people. And the day when Israel will enjoy the favor of God and the mercies of God. And those are prophecies of New Covenant Israel, the Church of Jesus Christ on earth today. If you restrict it to national Israel, Hosea makes no sense. It becomes a total mess. Okay. I tried that today. I read through Hosea and I said to myself, let me imagine that I hold the position that Israel means the Jewish nation. And I read through Hosea, and I was honestly, seriously tangled up. And I thought, if I held this position, Hosea would make no sense. Seriously tangled up. But the moment you take it from Romans that the church is Israel, then it makes sense, because these prophecies are all about the new covenant and the mercies of God. So Hosea is speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel during the time when God's judgment is about to befall them. And Hosea says to them, God is holy, God is faithful to his word, and God is gracious. Yes, judgment is coming, but that is not the end of things. The mercies of God will yet be seen in the new covenant. Okay? So that's just an overview of Hosea. Next time we'll look at chapter 1 and begin our study. Okay?